I would like to ask you, what is your favorite food? What are the things that you really enjoy eating? What about you, Francis? What do you enjoy? What kind of food do you like? Pancakes. All right, somebody said pizza. Pancakes is your favorite? Okay, good. What about you, Elena? Oh, ice cream. Yeah, ice cream is good. Russell, what do you like to eat?
I like potatoes.
You like potatoes, okay.
Vegetables,
very good. What about you, Robert? Anything that you enjoy eating a lot?
I'm just like Russell, anything that is
good. Some people enjoy bread, right? Like every day, especially when it's fresh, baked. I enjoy Chinese food. I think it's really good. I don't eat it all the time because it's quite salty, right? But I remember once we had Chinese food for dinner and get these vegetables and garlic sauce with tofu. You know, and I like the garlic sauce. But these things are super salty. And I made a mistake that I didn't drink plenty of water after that. So I just got to bed. And in my dreams, I have this terrible nightmare. The nightmare goes like this, you know, like going in a very desert place, and I am very thirsty, and I was trying to find water, and walking and walking, and just wake up in the morning all sweating and all thirsty, like, why I had this bad dream, you know, like, and I remember, oh, I ate a very salty meal the previous night, right? And so the Bible verse that Becky was reading this morning is Psalms 42, and it's a beautiful psalm. I encourage you to go home and do a reading and a meditation in that psalm. But the psalm begins saying, Psalms 42 begins saying that a person is panting for water. And that's kind of like a deer, right? And I was trying to figure it out what the writer is conveying with this idea of panting, you know, like, and then I remember my dog. You know, you walk in your dog and it's very hot and they start putting their little tongues out. They get a way to, I guess, dissipate heat, and they are very thirsty, and you notice they want water to drink. They want to drink water. And so he is using this illustration to present to the reader our desire to encounter God. So let's go and do some reading here in Psalms 42. And the person who wrote the psalm, this is how he begins. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When I shall come and appear before God, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continue to say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude, I went with them to the house of the God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. So this person is telling the reader, I have a very sincere and profound desire to encounter God. When was the last time that you feel like that? You know, like, when was the last time that you really feel really, really hungry? That you really need to eat something? Because here in America, you know, like I mentioned before, our hunger is like a very sophisticated hunger, right? We don't get hungry for vegetables or potatoes. We get hungry for maybe like a donut or something like, you know, cookies, ice cream, you know, something that appeal more to our appetite. But in reality, what I'm trying to present to you is that this person is going through this journey searching for God because he feels that he's lost, that he doesn't have an encounter with God. And that is the idea that I want to present to you. Do you think it's possible for somebody, listen to this question, do you think it's possible for somebody to go to church and still missing God? And I discovered that it is a painful truth. Yes, we can come to church expecting to encounter God, and even here, we can go home and feeling empty, right? You're missing something. So I would like to suggest to you that you don't need to come to church to encounter God. You can do it at home, right? And it's expected that all believers, we should have an encounter daily with God, right? It's what we call our daily devotion, our time that we spend reading and meditating in God's Word, in the Bible, in His things, in how He answered prayer, and how He talked to us, and how He inspired us. Many, many things that He had done for us. And when we come in here, when we come back here, like the Sabbath, you know, to gather together and praying, we can tell others the amazing things that God had done in your life during the week, right? But if you come to church without having that encounter during the week, and what will happen is that you will get here very, very hungry and very, very thirsty in the spiritual sense. And you will expect your spiritual needs to be met here at church. And maybe you will feel a little disappointed because you don't receive what you were expecting for. But in part, it's because we are very, very hungry, right? And when you get hungry, you don't always make the right decisions. Somebody once gave me this advice. I don't know if that's true or not. You can agree or disagree with me. But the person was telling me, my good friend, never go to buy groceries when you are hungry. Is that true? I find out that when I'm hungry and I go to the store, everything looks delicious. You know, even sweet potatoes. You know, like now is the time for the sweet potatoes again. I was noticing in our festival that we have a lot of, what is the name of these things? Pumpkins. And what is they used for pumpkins other than carving? Because I don't think people is planting pumpkins here only to make holes, right? Oh, okay, we can make pies. What else you can make with pumpkins?
Pumpkin pancakes.
Oh, pumpkin pancakes. Yeah, yeah. I know. You know, I always wonder, because it seems to me that we waste a lot of food here, right? And I always wondered about pumpkins. You know, why people always mess up the pumpkins and then throw it away? We don't eat them or do anything more appropriate with them. But I'm presenting this to you as a way to help you to reflect in our need to have this genuine encounter with God. So this person is very sad. This person is feeling that they want to really have an encounter with God, a genuine encounter with God. And he is telling God, look, it's like a little animal that is very thirsty, that really, really wants to drink water. That's how much I want to find you. That's how I feel about you right now. Because I've been praying, I've been singing, I've been doing all these things, and I still feel empty. I need something else in my life, and I need to listen to your voice. So this person is telling the reader that his desire is genuine. But not only he's telling the reader that he has a desire, a profound desire to encounter God, he's also telling the reader what other people tell him, right? And the other people sounds like cruel, and they are mocking him because he feels lonely. He says in verse number 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continue to say to me, so who are they? I guess maybe family, maybe friends, maybe people who know him. When they continue saying to me, where is your God? And that's a profound question, especially when you are going through a crisis, right? And you are feeling that everything is crumbling under your feet, that nobody is there to support you. And then people will say, but you go to church every Saturday. You like to give money to the church. You pray to this God. So where is this God right now when you need him? Have you ever feel like that? Have you ever been in a circumstances like that when everything is going really, really bad, and instead of getting encouragement from other people, you get more discouraged? And we all go through these deserts, right? Times when everything seems like going in the wrong way. So this person continues praying here in these Psalms, and he is telling you and telling me that he used to enjoy going to church and singing and praising with other believers here in verse number 4. When I remember these things, and he presented things to you, right? I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. And so remember, in Israel, people who lived far away from Jerusalem, they didn't go to the temple every single Sabbath. They just go maybe once or twice a year, depending on the distance and the resources that the person had. And so every single time that they have this special occasion, many, many people make efforts and savings, and they go to the city of Jerusalem to this special ceremony because they want to worship God, and they want to have this experience and encounter God. So when they were going to Jerusalem, they were all excited and happy, and they were singing through the journey. You find that for some people, that journey took days, like in the case mentioned for Jesus and his parents. Remember, it took at least 3 days from their city to Jerusalem, walking through difficult terrain. But they were happy and they were excited because they were going to worship God. They want to find God. They want to have this encounter with God. And they were really excited about that. So he's longing for this experience, right? The moment when he really feels connected with God. And he continues saying in verse number 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Now he's talking to himself, right? It's kind of like he's trying to give himself encouragement. Why are you feeling sad? Why are you feeling depressed? Right? Continue reading with me. "Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." That expression right there, hope in God, is repeated at least twice in the psalm. In this verse, and it's also in the last verse, in verse 11. So through all chapter 42, this person is going and telling the person that is reading the psalm, "I feel lonely, I feel sad, I feel depressed, because I cannot encounter God anywhere. You know, I go to church, and I don't find it there. I cry, and I don't find it there. And I don't know what else to do." So my question again to you is the following. What to do under the circumstances? When you are going through the desert and you feel depressed and you feel lonely, what advice you will give to a person like that? What you will tell him to this person so that they can get some encouragement? So one of the things that we can mention to the person is that we need to remember, right? What is important for believers to remember? Think about that for a second. Why is it important for believers to remember? It is important for us to remember because we have the tendency to forget the things that God had done in our lives. It doesn't matter how amazing the prayer is. When we move on life, it's kind of like we forget. Right? The miracle, you get excited, God answered your prayer, but then you continue, and it seems like we don't remember that the way that he answered that prayer. In my experience coming to the U.S., I mentioned to you that a lot of things impact me when I come to the U.S. One of the things that impressed me the most was that in the food markets here, we have so much food. And in some other countries, it's not that common. But you go to the stores and you see all these apples and all these fruits and all these vegetables, and everything looks super clean and really nice, and it's exciting, right? You get hungry. You want to eat these meals. The other thing that impressed me a lot about the U.S. when I just moved here is that in November, they have this day that they made this big celebration to remember the things that God had done through the year, right? How's that day called? Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. The day of saying thank you to God, right? Of course, today people don't think about that day in the same way that they used to, because today people is more concerned when what? When the following day, right? When going to spend money and get a good deal in a TV, or, you know, getting a whatever your heart desire. So it is odd that we are always searching for something that makes us happy. Have you noticed that? Because our emptiness is expressed in obtaining things. We feel if I accomplish this, if I purchase this item, if I acquire this house, if I do this, whatever the situation is in your life, you will feel better with yourself, right? And you discover, no, it's just another item, right? It's kind of like when you purchase a phone. You get a new phone, and then you get all excited. You're reading all the features, and after you know the phone, okay, you know, the excitement passed. And then next year, it's a new phone, right? So to feel the same excitement, you have to go and purchase and you are trying to accomplish that through the exercise of spending money. And so that was impressive to me, thinking that people will take one day to sit and to have a nice meal with the family and to pray to God and say, thank you for providing for us during this year. Thank you for giving us health, for giving us life, for giving us this delicious meal. And when I reflect in the origins of that festivity, in reality, it made me happy. That people used to have this respect for the Lord, that they dedicated time to, you know, say thank you. So during the whole psalm, the person is going back and forward between his laments and cries and desperation and his reassurance that eventually he will encounter God with hope. So the only thing that can really help us in a circumstances when we feel depressed and when we feel sad is that, number one, remembering all the amazing things that God had done for us in the past. Because the same God that answered your prayers in the past will answer your prayers today. Right? It's the same God. And he continued loving you. And he continued answer to you. Doesn't always answer the way that we expected, but he answers. So don't give up, right? And when people is mocking you and making jokes of your faith, remember that we alone want to respond to this God. We shouldn't pay attention to what others say, right? We need to encounter this God in person. Being sincere, being honest, you know, having this conversation with God. The second thing that I want to encourage you, if you are going through a desert right now, is that we need to get some water, right? Jesus expressed in the Gospel of John that he's the fountain of living waters, right? He said there that whoever possesses him, Jesus, in his heart, it will be like a person having a brook, or like a fountain, like a little river coming out of your heart, right? And I always wondered about that because I grew up in a place that it was kind of like semi-desert. It wasn't completely desert, but it was very dry in South America. And interesting enough, if you look at the map of Colombia, Colombia is like a complete jungle. You know, you had jungles everywhere, and then you had mountains, and then you had, because of the mountains, some places where you don't have a lot of rain, and you had deserts and different climates. And the city where we used to live is near one of these places that the climate is kind of like very dry. So you see a lot of cactus, and a lot of the vegetation is different. You don't see a lot of greenish. The trees are kind of like sad, looking brown. It's like, you know, like ugly trees with a lot of briars and things like that. And so it's a different kind of like a vegetation and environment. And in that place, water is not abundant. And I remember going in hiking, so going in trips with our friends. And one of the first things that they advise you to bring is bring water. Because it gets really hot, it's very dry, and if you don't bring water, that can affect you, right? So you can be hungry, but if you get dehydrated, that can kill you faster, right? So we all agree that if you are going through a desert, you need that water, right? You can get hungry, that's fine, your body will tolerate that, but if you go without water, I had bad news for you, right? Your life is limited. And so we need to get in connection with this fountain of real life of water, the water that brings life into your being and help you to move on in these difficult times. How do you acquire this water? How you can calm your thirst for God? It is a very personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not a sermon here that it will help you. You need to have that experience at home, having this encounter with Scripture, knowing more about this God that is a living God. You know, our parents give us a lot of things, but one thing that they cannot give us is faith, right? So if your parents were very faithful people, that's good for them, but that doesn't help you, right? You need to get your own experience with God. And it's the same thing for my kids. I want to help them, but I cannot pass my faith to them, only teach them about God. And you know, what is the saddest thing today is that people don't like to drink water in the spiritual sense and in the real sense. I meet people that when you offer them a drink, they will, okay, give me a soda or give me this thing, give me something sweet. And they say, you offer water, and I say, no, water is tasteless. I don't like water. Maybe you are one of these persons. Don't feel that I'm attacking you. You know, in occasions we need to retrain ourselves, right? And so maybe we put like a little lemon or something to enhance the flavor of the water, but you really need to drink water. That's what your body requires to operate and to work in the proper way. Now that we are getting into winter, have you noticed that we drink less water? The colder it gets, the less thirsty that we become. And that's a big problem, right? Because your body continues requiring the same amounts of water. Maybe less, I don't know. It depends on the amount of exercise that we do. But you need to drink. It is essential for your life, your real life, right? I was watching the news a couple of days ago about this coach in Maryland, a very famous university. And they were doing training in May with the students for the football team until one of the guys get overheated, collapsed, and died. And, of course, who get the blame? The coach, because you should know better, right? And somebody once tell me that you can pull a horse near to the river, but you can know what? Make him to drink. So we are under the same predicament here, right? I'm telling you, that is essential for your spiritual life to get this fountain of living water, but it's your choice, right? It is your decision what it really matters. We can encourage you, we can invite you, we can point to you the direction where you will find the real water, but unless you make that choice, nothing will happen. So today, we are in the spirit of getting reconnected with Christ, doing the communion service. I mentioned this many times to you before. The communion service is the use of two symbols. One is bread and the other is grape juice. We call it wine, but in reality it's just grape juice. So don't get scared, there's no alcohol in that or anything. Grape juice and bread, which Jesus himself selected to represent his body and blood, right? And these two symbols, you can eat them and that's fine, but what we're trying to do is accomplish a spiritual connection here, right? We want to get reconnected with this God that we are looking for. And so my encouragement today is that we all partake of the communion service. It's ready here, it's plenty for everybody, but again, it's our choice, right? So I want to tell you that even when we make the wrong choices, God never abandons us. That's an interesting thing about God, that God is a very persistent God. It's kind of like somebody chasing you. The more you run away from him, the more he will chase you. And you don't want to think about him. You want to forget about him. You don't want to think about church. You don't want to think about anything. And he's chasing you, like, relentlessly, right? And that has been my experience. Because in many occasions I went, you know, God, we need to take a little break here. And it's no break with God. You know, like, he will continue following you. And I'm grateful for that. Because if was about my choices, I made terrible choices, right? But praise the Lord that he never gave up in us. Amen? Amen. Dear friends, church family, in the back of the church, we have three small sections, three rooms. If you want to partake in the food washing, you can go. One room is for the men, for the gentlemen. Another is for the ladies, if they want to do it alone. And another is for spouses, if you want to do it when you're a spouse, you're a couple. Like I say, I encourage everybody to participate in this. After this, the food washing ceremony, we will come back here and we will continue with our bread and the wine today. Amen? Do you mind if I stand for a moment? I notice that some of you are kind of like a little half asleep already. And thank you for standing. If you want to remain here, you can sit again, right? Don't worry. Let's have a prayer right now. Heavenly Father, today we want to ask you, Lord, to please continue working in our hearts. God, don't give up on us. Forgive us and help us to prepare for the communion service. In Jesus' name, amen. A blessing to all of you.